Thank you to Ricky and Ronnie and Laura Jane for leading us in praise this morning. And I hope you've enjoyed singing along at home. But we are coming now to look at God's Word. And if you have your Bibles, please open them up before you at Acts chapter 15 and into 16 as we look at this morning. In his book called Just Do Something, Kevin DeYoung includes a made-up news report of a man called Walter Houston. The headline reads, Man 91 Dies Waiting for the Will of God. This devoted Christian is said to have waited 70 years for God to give him clear direction as to what to do with his life. He prayed continuously about what he might do for the Lord, but whenever he was about to take action, he would pull back because he didn't want to disappoint God or go against him in any way. We might find that amusing to some extent, but sadly that could sum up many Christians today, where we're so concerned about not doing the wrong thing in our life that we actually don't do much of anything for the Lord. And maybe you can relate to that as you feel like your life is on hold, maybe in this season or this time, you feel like you don't know the way forward and you're needing clear guidance from the Lord. We set about sometimes and we wait. We don't move forward as we should. That couldn't be said of the Apostle Paul or Barnabas, Mark, Silas, or Timothy, who we hear about in this passage today. They didn't set about waiting or asking lots of questions. They knew how much their lives had been changed as God saved them by his grace. Yet we'll see how God guided them as they sought to live for Christ and make him known wherever they were taken or whatever situation they were in. Paul and Barnabas have been through a lot together. We've heard much about that as we've looked at this series in Acts. They stuck together even in the face of death. But here in this passage today, we see how God takes them in different directions, with Paul about to take the gospel into Europe for the very first time. But how did God bring this about? Surprisingly, the first thing we see is that God guides through disagreement and failure. I can remember an overseas missionary one time commenting that their biggest challenge was not the sweltering heat or the mosquitoes or the many cultural differences they had to face. It was actually agreeing with other missionaries. Yes, they each wanted to reach the lost, but they quite often had their own ideas about how they should go about that. We see that here with Paul and Barnabas as they had different ideas about how they should move on from Antioch. They were buzzing after the outcome from that Jerusalem trip when they brought back that letter from the people there. The church was encouraged. They were strengthened by their message. And so as Paul thought about that, he thought it would have been good for them to retrace that first missionary journey to go about around the other churches and encourage and strengthen them also. Throughout Paul's ministry, we see much of that he didn't only have a heart for reaching the lost, but also for ensuring that believers continued in the grace of God. He wanted the church to be built not only in number, but in depth. And it's so important that we see the necessity of that too. Jesus' great commission was not only to make converts, but it was to make disciples. Like Paul, Barnabas saw the importance of that. He was keen to go and join in with that work. But we see here a problem arises in verse 37 because Barnabas wanted to take with him John Mark on that journey. Mark had set out with them before when they went on that first missionary journey, but for some reason he had abandoned them. And in this place called Pamphylia, he went back home again. We're not told why he didn't continue, but whatever happened, it meant that Paul now doubted whether Mark was actually committed to this work. He didn't think it would be a good idea to bring this man along with him, given his past experience. But you see, Paul had a clear objective for the mission here. He saw the big picture. He knew that the people who were with him needed to be committed to take up their cross and follow Jesus. See, Paul had almost been stoned to death for spreading this good news in Lystra previously on the first journey. And so he wanted people with him who he knew he could depend on, people who wouldn't run off in such times, even when they were going to be stoned. On the other hand, Barnabas was adamant that Mark should join with them just as he started out with them before. Colossians 4 tells us that Mark actually was his cousin, and maybe that's some bearing on his decision here. But Barnabas was also known as the son of encouragement. He wasn't just willing to cut Mark off because he had failed in the past. Barnabas wanted to encourage him to continue in the work of the Lord, to continue to keep going on, to continue to serve him. And so he wanted to do what he could to help him in that. So Paul and Barnabas were both convinced about how they should go forward. They were very strongly opinionated on that. And that came to a head in verse 39, as we see there arose a sharp disagreement. They didn't sit down and work this out calmly. No, they didn't compromise. They stuck to their guns, and there was a sharp disagreement. Great as these men were, it reminds us that even the best of Christians don't always agree. These men were still sinful human beings. This wasn't a good outcome that they argued. But although God didn't cause this disagreement, in his providence, God used it for his purpose. Because out of this was not only one missionary journey, but now came two missionary journeys going off in different directions. Barnabas took Mark with him and they went off to Cyprus. And no doubt that played a great part in Mark later being used by God to write one of the Gospels, where he spoke much of Jesus being the servant king. Paul, on the other hand, took Silas. We hear him mentioned here. He continued on that journey as planned. They went through Syria, Cilicia, and it says that they strengthened and encouraged the churches as they went. Of course, Barnabas was a big loss to Paul, but Silas was now bringing further gifts and abilities and skills. He would have much to offer on this mission. But thinking about how this applies to us today, we can't command that we should sharply disagree with one another like these men did. But there's nothing wrong with having strong convictions or having that clear direction of how we should move forward. God maybe has given you a particular burden in your life, a burden for others, a burden for a way that you can serve him. Maybe like Paul, you have that big picture. You're driven forward to make sure that the whole mission is complete, that there's a bigger plan in place. Or maybe you're a bit like Barnabas, that you are good at drawing alongside people, encouraging them, helping those people who have fallen down, those who have failed. You don't want to leave anyone behind. We see the church is a body with many parts. God has called us to serve them in different ways. But sometimes it is only through failure or through disagreement that we see that way forward. Although we don't want to fall out with people, we don't want to leave that disunity. Sometimes it is through debate, sometimes it is through people pushing against you that we actually have clarity in a situation. It actually strengthens our convictions. And out of that, we go a different direction, a new direction in our lives, where maybe God gives us other opportunities, new opportunities to witness for him that we didn't have before. We don't hear about Barnabas in Acts again. Luke now takes us with Paul and Silas as they come down to a place called Lystra. And here we see that God guides through family and the church. From when you were born, I'm sure you would agree that your parents probably had the biggest influence on your life. Quite often we follow in the footsteps of our parents, whether that's through a certain career we choose, or whether it's through character traits being shown, or maybe even the football team that you support, although it's quite a hard task for me to convince my boys to support Newcastle at the minute. Things aren't going too well. But most importantly, parents have a big role to play in shaping their children about what they believe about God and his word. At a child's baptism, Christian parents make a vow with God's help to provide a Christian home, to bring up their children in the worship and the teaching of the church so that they may come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. But the congregation also vow that they would be a Christian influence on that child in the congregation. So God chooses to use the family home and the church family to guide and direct lives from childhood. As a church, we must see the importance of that. It shouldn't just be left to Sunday school teachers or youth leaders within the church. You see, we all have a part to play. And we see these aspects coming out here in verse 1 of chapter 16 as Paul comes to Lystra and we're introduced to this young man called Timothy. We see here the influence of family and other Christians who obviously knew Timothy really well. He's probably in his late teens at this point. He was said to be brought up in a mixed marriage. His mother was a believing Jew. His father was an unbelieving Greek. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're told about the faith of his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. These women had a significant influence on this young man's life. And in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, it speaks of how from childhood he had been taught the scriptures, which made him wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy had been grounded in the scriptures from when he was a child, but they only became clear to him when Paul preached on his first visit to Lystra. Because it's there that Timothy's eyes were opened to see that Jesus Christ is the one who was promised through the scriptures that he knew so dearly. And it was on the cross that he became an atoning sacrifice for his sin. Timothy knew Jesus as his Savior. Lystra, of course, was that place where on his first journey, Paul was almost stoned to death. People dragged him outside. They thought he was actually dead. And Timothy, young Timothy, would have seen that or at least heard of it. But it didn't scare him off. He didn't run away like Mark did on that first journey. If anything, he knew what it meant to be a true follower of Jesus, someone who would have to take up their cross and follow him. It would involve sacrifice, suffering. And you see, that made a big impact in Timothy's life. And he continued to walk with the Lord. He's been involved in the life of the church because look at verse 2, the Christian men there, the brothers, they speak so dearly of him. And it's interesting that he isn't only spoken well of in his hometown of Lystra, but also in a place 18 miles away called Iconium. You see, the church leaders and the people around that area recognized Timothy's godly character. They saw a giftedness in him for leadership, of serving on that mission. And so as Paul heard about this, and as he came to know Timothy, he also wanted him to join in this service of the Lord on that mission that he was going on. Timothy now knew the way that he should go. It was clear to him as his family and the church confirmed that in his life. And we see how willingly he went on that journey. How he was even willing to sacrifice for it. Because it says here that he was circumcised by Paul. This wasn't something that was necessary to do, but because the Jews might have been suspicious of him being a half-Greek, this was something that would further advance the gospel. This was something that wasn't done for the sake of ritual or sake of being saved. No, that was agreed up in Jerusalem, that it was by grace you're saved through faith. But Timothy was willing to go through that, to endure that for the further outreach of the gospel. I wonder, are we willing to endure such things as that? That is a painful thing he went through so that it would continue to help the furtherance of the gospel. You know, many of our young people are seeking guidance in their life. But too often that direction in their life is shaped by a push for academic success. It's shaped by the things that the world sees right or how we can fit in with the world. But it is vital that parents and Christians in the church seek to be a godly example and influence on our young people. That we show them that living for Christ, yes, it will involve sacrifice. That sacrifice is worth it because we know the one who gave his life for us on the cross. We know the extent that he went to give us that new life in him. Like those men speaking about Timothy, we must take an interest in those younger in our faith. We must look at their gifts and abilities and try to shape them and mold them as God would use them for his glory. You know, by God's grace, we have this
privilege within the home and within the church family to guide and direct the lives of those under our care. And it is a great privilege that we've been given, so let's not waste it. Because if we don't teach and guide them, the world will do it for us. So let's remember that we should guide and teach those younger. So we've seen how God guided through this disagreement and failure, then through family and the church. Finally, God guides through restriction and revelation. Whenever you're going somewhere in the car, I don't think anyone likes to see that big black and yellow diversion sign on the way. But I wonder how often you've driven up to one of them and you've actually gone past. You think, well, there's maybe another road further up. I'll go a wee bit further. You get up and you see another diversion sign and you think, oh, sure, I'll go a wee bit further. Well, there may be another way we can go. But then you come up and you go around the corner and all of a sudden the road is completely blocked. And you realize you have to do a three-point turn and go back down and take that diversion. Paul and Silas and Timothy were on a journey. They were making their way west to the province of Asia. At least that's where they thought that they were heading. But verse 6 says that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit from speaking the word in Asia. Roadblock number one. So they divert through a few different places. They try to go into Bithynia next. But this time, look what it says. The Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Roadblock number two. We might have given up by them. We might have just gone back home. But they decide to go north to a place called Troas. But now, instead of a roadblock, Paul is given clear direction from God. He is given a sign of the way forward. You know, there's a lot of miles packed into these few verses, but yet we're not given the finer details of how the Holy Spirit has closed those roads to them. It could have been any number of things, maybe from a lack of a place to stay, maybe from hostility from the locals, we don't know. One commentator says that it may have been through illness that restricted them, because Dr. Luke now has appeared on the scene as he joined them in Troas. We see that in verse 10 as the narrative changes from they to we. Luke is speaking here as being part of this now. But whatever the circumstances, Paul is clear that the Holy Spirit has stopped them from speaking there or going to that place. And the term Spirit of Jesus is also uniquely used here. And this is important because it shows that the work of Jesus is continuing in the lives of his people through the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. It's as we continue in that personal relationship with Jesus that we know the Spirit guiding us day by day. I'm not talking about some sort of charismatic moment here, but this is having a peace and assurance about a particular situation that can only come from God in your life. Or as in the case of Paul here, a lack of peace about going a certain way. In your life, maybe there's a lack of peace in a relationship that you're currently in. Or about taking on a new job or choosing even certain subjects at school. You maybe can't explain why you shouldn't go that way or why you are thinking this way, but you know deep down in your life that this is not right. God is directing you in that way from it. But this only comes from walking closely with the Word. Lord, it only comes from that deep and intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus as the Spirit works in our lives, as we seek Him through prayer and His Word. You know, at times God will close doors to us. He will take us away from situations. He will direct us in other ways. But He will also give us special revelation to guide us when we need to know the way. Paul was given a vision in the night here by a man from Macedonia standing, urging in front of him to come over to that place to help them in their time of need. Through this, Paul knew that he was being called to go over to that place and to preach the good news of Jesus to them. You may hear of people today saying that God speaks to them in dreams. I've even heard of some churches providing dream workshops. I'm not saying that God can't speak in that way. But I don't believe that is how God chooses to speak to us today. You see, with Paul, this was an extraordinary event. It was an extraordinary time in history. This is God's apostle about to take the gospel into Europe for the first time. We are not Paul. We are not one of the apostles. Yet we have been given a special revelation from God through his word as we have it in the Old and the New Testament. And as we walk by the Spirit in that relationship with Christ, God will guide us through it as we regularly spend time in his word, as we hear it preached week by week. That is how God reveals his will. That's how God shows us the way. Okay, it is not the easiest way to follow. It will be difficult. But it is the best way that you can live your life. And if you don't know Christ yet, you haven't come to experience that, you don't know that working in your life. You're maybe wandering about aimlessly. You're going off in your own direction, thinking that you know best. Folks, I'd urge you today to turn from your sin, turn to Christ, receive him as Savior and Lord, and know his guidance and direction in your life. But if you are in Christ, I wonder, do you know God's leading and guiding day by day? Are you walking in the Spirit, seeking to be a witness for him wherever he has called you to go, even in the place where he has put you right now, even in the midst of lockdown in 2021? One of the things that struck me most as I was preparing and reading through this passage is that Paul and the others here didn't sit about for 70 years waiting for God's guidance like Walter Houston at the start. They didn't just wait for a certain time to end. They didn't wait for a pandemic to end like we might be doing. No, in whatever situation they were in, they had a desire to move forward and make Christ known wherever they were, whoever was brought into their life. Even when there was disagreement and failure, and they were taken in a different direction, these men continued to encourage and strengthen the church. They continued to preach the gospel. I wonder, maybe today, are you wallowing in some failure in your life? Are you hung up on some disagreement, even with some brother in Christ or sister? I wonder, are you holding on to these things rather than taking a new opportunity to go in a different direction and to see that as God's leading, to provide that way for you to speak into another place? We've seen the importance of teaching our children and guiding those in the church who are younger in the faith. What a privilege God has given to us to identify and to train up more young Timothys. Are we taking that calling seriously? Are we looking out for those younger in the faith? Maybe there's something we could be doing differently today. Something as a church, or something we could be doing even within our family. Or maybe today you realize that God is closing certain doors in your life. You've maybe known it for a while. You've maybe been struggling with this. You haven't got a peace about something, but you've still been holding on. You're still going that way. Maybe today, as you've heard God speak, it's the time to realize that God is closing that door. And as you have heard God's word, he is leading you in his direction, in his ways which are perfect and which are best for you. I hope that each one of us know God's guidance as we live our lives by and through his words, and as we seek to live for Christ as we walk in the Spirit. If not, then turn to Jesus today. Call upon him. Ask him into your life as Savior and Lord. Then you will know that guidance. That guidance will not only take you through the days that you have on earth, but into God's presence for all eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that you are the God who rules and reigns over all. You know the beginning from the end. You know the purpose for each one in your creation. And Lord, we thank you that you continue to guide your people and lead them day by day. Lord, we pray that for each one who knows Christ as Savior and Lord, that they would be walking by the Holy Spirit day by day. That each one would be spending time in your presence, seeking your ways as we turn to your word, as we pray to you and call upon you. Lord, may we walk day by day by faith, knowing that you are working out your plans through us and in us. Lord, help us not to wait for what might come foolishly, but to take action, to see opportunities around us, to proclaim the good news to the people around us, wherever you have put us, whatever situation you have brought us through. May we be witnesses for you as we seek to strengthen and encourage the church in these days. Lord, for those who don't yet know Christ, we pray that even today you would be guiding them and leading them to saving faith as you work in their life. As they come to know Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would save and you would work out your great purpose. Lord, help each one of us to walk in your ways as we go into this week. It may not be going far, but Lord, even in our homes, may we be an example to children, to brothers or sisters or parents alike. And may we proclaim the good news of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray.